Right. Well, just starting in the US, and we after a stormy period last week, relating to the congressional final signing off on the election result. We seem to have finished on a very positive note now, because first one is President Trump is now absolutely history after the events of last week. Second point, we had the runoff election in Georgia for the two Senate seats there. It's now a clean sweep for the Democrats all the way through. And third point is that means with some certainty that they've already legislated just before New Year the latest income support measures in the United States, but that's not the end of it. So there's more support measures coming. So despite the fact that you still have the COVID-19 infection rate at horrific levels in the United States, death rate and all that, and plus restrictions, we can look forward at some point to an end of that. It comes from two sources. They are starting to vaccinate people now. And the second source is that winter will end and you get weather conditions which are much less conducive to the spread of COVID-19 anyway. So restrictions come off at exactly the same time as you've got past and likely stimulus measures starting to come through. So not without reason, the markets are looking well forward now to better times ahead. And even the data is okay-ish in parts. So what will happen in the United States is that after that very strong Q3 GDP read we saw, where it was up 34% annualized, we will get a double-dip recession in the United States. So Q4 will almost certainly dip back into negative territory. Q1, though, will be pulling back out again, and Q2 next year at this stage looks to be very strong. Even this dip that we're getting is not unduly pronounced for Q4. Just some of the numbers we had last week. We had things like, for example, the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Report, month of December. Surprisingly, through all the problems we had in December, that lifted to 60.7 from 57.5. Market was thinking that would come back to 56.5. That's a very high reading. So the manufacturing sector's come through all this without missing a beat. It's actually got stronger than the United States running through. The services sector PMI too came back, but not disastrously in December, back to 54.8 from 58.4. But where you see some touch of softness is we had non-farm payrolls came through. And with the new restrictions relating to COVID-19 in several states over there in December, we got non-farm payrolls fell by 140,000. They were expected to rise by 71,000, so that's the first fall we've had in a long time. But the participation rate came back as well, so the unemployment rate actually stayed down at 6.7% for the month. So no real change running through that. Some of the other factors which were related in that non-farm payrolls report, average hourly earnings are holding up very, very well in the United States. One legacy, which will go through to the keeper now, of the Trump administration is they did manage to get wages running again in the United States. And in the month of December, they thought that average hourly earnings would be up 0.2%. They're up 0.8%. And the annual change in average hourly earnings has actually lifted to 5.1% from 4.4%. It's one of the reasons why once we get past the peak of this infection rate, you start to see restrictions coming off. You've got the fiscal stimulus coming through from what was legislated just before New Year, plus whatever comes out of the new administration to allow some promise for the future. This is going to be a pretty elastic rebound that comes through U.S. economic activity once they get into the spring and the summer months of 2021. And we can say it with some confidence now, because COVID is not going to come back and hit in the same way that it did through the Northern Hemisphere winter. And that's simply a function of the numbers of people being vaccinated. So yes, you can get some resurgences, but they're going to be way smaller than what we saw going back to the tail end of last year. And that applies not just to the United States, it applies to Europe and, you know, particularly the UK, which is going through a horrific time of it at the moment. This week in the United States, we have some inflation data coming through. I'm not watching these much yet, but in time I will be, because I think we're going to go into compressed time spans before long, where you get some, you know, a lot of strong activity coming through very, very quickly. We may use up excess capacity a lot quicker than most people have got factors into forecasts, particularly official forecasts from the Fed and here by the RBA. But for the time being, you know, inflation won't be watched because it's not a problem. But when we go through to Wednesday, we've got the December CPI coming out. For the month, the headline CPI is expected to be up 0.4% month on month. That means the annual change will have gone up a little bit to 1.3 from 1.2, if that's where it comes in. The core CPI reading, probably less than that, 0.1% month on month. That will keep the annual rate of change there for the core CPI at 1.6%. So, you know, these are nowhere near problematic at the moment, and won't be even if they doubled on these levels on a year-on-year basis. But this is more a story going ahead 12 months into 2022, where, you know, at the moment most people are thinking towards 2023 before you start to see inflation becoming a problem. It wouldn't surprise at all to see that time frame coming forward, but give us 6 months before that starts to happen. So so in the meantime, you know, bond markets still reflect a very, very low inflation environment for the time being. Some of the other information we got coming out this week reflects that dip in economic activity going back to Q4. We'll have December retail sales. Retail sales were weak in November, minus 0.9%, and in December, market thinks it'd be down another 0.1%. Core retail sales were down 1.1% going back to November, and the market thinks down another 0.2% for the month of December. So, yeah, that going back to Q3, you know, consumption expenditure, household consumption expenditure, was 41% up annualized, and gave most of the oomph to the Q3 GDP report. It's doing exactly the same in reverse when you go through Q4, which is where you get that dip again in GDP before things start to recover late Q1 this year. In China last week, we had some purchasing managers' reports. These are the private sector ones from the Caixin Group. And they've drifted back a touch, but they're still okay. So the December manufacturing PMI from Caixin came down to 53 from 54.9. 54.9 was at about a four-year high going before that. So, but still reasonably good. The non-manufacturing PMI was at 57.8. It's come down to 56.3. You may have noticed, and it's gone through to the keeper, that China has been having resurgences in COVID in several cities and is starting to reimpose restrictions. So in response to that, the Chinese have been very quick to start to announce some stimulus. So the two biggest economies in the world, the United States and China, have both got more stimulus coming, which is going to count as we go a bit further forward. This week in China, we have today the CPI coming out, no problem here. It may lift just above the zero mark to plus 0.1% year on year. It was minus 0.5% going back to the month of November. Producer prices too come out today for the month of December. They fell to minus, they're expected to be down 0.8% year on year. They were down 1.5% year on year, so in the pipeline, China's still got a fair bit of deflation pressure running through there, and that's going to keep control of retail prices. On Thursday, we'll see export and import data out of China. Given they've been waging a trade war with just about everybody, their trade numbers have held up remarkably well. And going back to November, the year on year was 21.1% increase, which was a big surprise when that number came out. Market thinks it'll drift back a bit to about plus 15, but even a plus 15% year on year, that's still pretty healthy growth for an economy which is trying to lock itself off, if anything, from places at the moment. And imports, there was a lift of 4.5% year-on-year going back to November. That's expected to have lifted a little bit further to 5%, so those numbers okay-ish when they come out later this week. In Australia, we had a little bit of data coming out last week, most of it pretty positive, actually. We had ANZ job ads, and they lifted to, these are January numbers, they lifted another 9.2% after being up 13.9%. Year on year, they're up the best part of 60%. We've got a lot of strength running through demand for labour, even with the odd setbacks here. And what I would say about the setbacks here is, they do look as if they're going to be pretty short lived now. Wherever we've got the outbreaks of COVID, we're getting on top of them pretty quick. This is where Australia is going to again look different in configuration from many economies overseas. There won't be any dip in the fourth quarter here. We had a very strong fourth quarter, and I doubt whether we'll get a delayed dip running into Q1, because the latter part of Q1 looks as if it's going to be quite strong as restrictions start to come off, and we've got a lot of savings in the household sector which can translate through to spending. So there's every reason that in an improving world, once we get to the late part of Q1, Australia will still be running very, very strongly inside there. So and some of the other numbers we got last week, we had November home building approvals came out. They were again strong. They lifted by 2.6% month on month after being up 3.8%. They're now up 15% year on year. And there's been quite a difference in the way that home buildings are lifting this time around. Go back a couple of years ago in the boom, and it was mostly flats and units, approvals for those which were lifting. Private sector houses were barely trickling along. This time around, it's freestanding private sector homes, which are just going ballistic at the moment, and they're up 30% year on year. And up 6% just month on month. So people wanting to buy homes out, build homes out in the suburbs as opposed to home units. And so and that's high value add stuff when it comes to the home building market as well. So quite a bit of strength running through there. We had the November trade balance came out. There was a little bit of a settling back in the size of the surplus in goods and services, but it was still over $5 billion, $5.02 billion, down from $6.58 billion going back the month before. We had a lift of 3% in exports, but imports lifted by 10%. So that's partly a reflection of the way in which domestic spending is lifting here. This morning, we'll get the November retail trade numbers coming out. And we've already had the preliminary report of this. It was stunningly strong. It was up by 7% month on month. So the final figure will probably be around that. That's up over 13% year on year. That was after being up 1.4% month on month going back the month before. Compare and contrast that with the United States. Retail sales falling in the United States through those months, rising stronger than we've ever seen in Australia through those months. So that's where we're going to have a huge mother and father of a boost to household consumption expenditure in Q4, which will be the mainstay of a very, very strong Q4 GDP reading when it comes out in March, and will stand out like nothing else in a world where you'll have negative signs on just about everybody else's GDP, and ours will be up massively. So there's certainly going to be sort of, and even going into December, in about a week or two's time, we'll get the preliminary reading for December retail sales. And there appeared to be a lot of strength running through December this year too. Looking at Australia Post this morning, and they reported that their parcel deliveries for this December compared with last December, we're up 20% year on year. So if that's any reflection of what retail trade was doing, we're in for a bumper December when the number comes out too. On Wednesday, we'll get the official November quarter job vacancies, and they're probably going to be strong again. Again, these are running up around 60% year on year, and we expect to hold around that level, giving some indication that we've still got some strength ahead as far as our labour market figures are concerned. And also on Wednesday, we have Westpac consumer sentiment coming out. Going back, this is for January, going back to December, we had a fourth monthly lift, and it was another very strong lift of 4.1% month on month. It would be very surprising if we don't get some setback to that, because, you know, obviously we had the setbacks from COVID, but it is going to be pretty temporary, so expect a negative reading on that particular number. And then on Friday, we'll get the latest housing finance data, month of November. Going back to October, housing finance commitments rose 0.8% month on month. It's probably going to be stronger than that for the current month, so around about 1.5% increase. Just turning to Europe, yeah, obviously it's been absolutely devastating as far as COVID infection rates are concerned in Europe. They're still going through the peak of the infection rate. They've got some very, very tight restrictions in many of those countries now. That will make a difference to economic activity there in the very near term. But it's not going to be long before those restrictions start to come off. And there'll be confidence that they're going to stay off. And the reason for that, quite simple. You know, they are starting to run out the vaccinations. And the weather will change, and it will be much less conducive to the spread of COVID-19 once they get into their warmer months. They're still a little way off for Europe, but it's there on the horizon. Within 2 to 3 months, conditions will be hugely better than where they are now. And so, you know, that obviously is going to factor into expectations. The other factor about Europe is that it legislated one of the biggest longer-term fiscal stimulus of any region, 1.6 trillion euro, which was legislated late last year. And, you know, countries like Germany, for example, have got strong income support programs all the way through to the end of this year. So despite the gloom of the current numbers, and they are pretty gloomy in part, we had... services PMI down at 46.5, so below the 50 mark, but not all of them are very gloomy. We had November retail sales, which were a shocker. They fell by 6.1% month on month, after being up 1.4% the month before that. But the unemployment rate's still drifting down in Europe. The November unemployment rate came down to 8.3% from 8.4%. And business and consumer confidence, even in the depths of what is a total disaster, is actually improving. And that's showing that people look beyond to what's coming next. And that survey went up to 90.4 from 87.7. So an indication of the forward-looking nature of people when you're in the depths of these great problems. Europe this week, not a lot of data. We'll have November industrial production. That will be probably up about 0.2%, after being up 2.1% the month before. January Sentix investor confidence comes out early this week. Is expected to actually lift to plus 0.7% from minus 2.7%. And we also have the November trade balance. This is one part of the European economy that's been going well. The trade surplus going back to October was 30 billion euro, and will probably be around that for the most recent month. So interesting times. We had obviously some incredible scenes from the United States last week. But out of that, We now have more certainty that you've got a transition coming very shortly. Inauguration Day is the 20th of January. That consigns President Trump to history. His ability to do too much damage, touch wood, in the last 9 days of his administration, hopefully is now very, very limited. And beyond that, it's looking forward to sort of more cohesive fiscal spending coming out of the United States and getting on top of the COVID infections as they, A, roll out more of the vaccine, B, start to run towards better weather. And so there's every reason at the moment why us markets are taking a fairly optimistic view about things. Yep, there's potential for setbacks, but they're probably not as pronounced as they've been for a little while past.